Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
So, you'd like to believe in God, but... Well, you do believe in miracles. You find the miracle between last Tuesday night and the following Wednesday morning rather astonishing. How did Trump appear the clear winner on Tuesday, only to have a bunch of states, by an incredible coincidence, stop counting all at the same time, resume in the morning, and suddenly see Biden votes increase? And how many more Biden votes are out there anyway? Good questions, my friend. Allow me to help. Yes, it's time for another episode of How Long Will It Take to Find All the Biden Votes with your old pal, Bob. It does take a while. That's what you need to understand. First, they have to forge them. Then they have to hide them. Then they have to pretend to find them. It's like hiding your own Easter eggs. You've been listening to How Long Will It Take to Find All the Biden Votes with your old pal, Bob. Yes, Uncle Joe makes every holiday special from Easter to Election Day. That's right, it's time for another update, our Joe Biden update. Now, if you were expecting me to play Hail to the Chief, in your dreams, buddy, in your dreams. In fact, if you expect me to play it in future weeks or future years, you're going to have a very long wait, and you're going to be incredibly disappointed. But there was a headline from a few days before the election. Biden brags about having the most extensive voter fraud organization in history. You can't make this up. This wasn't in the Babylon Bee. He actually did that. Most extensive voter fraud organization in history. Well, what do you know? Joe Biden accidentally spoke the truth. You know the old saying, give a monkey a typewriter, sooner or later he'll type a word. And now let me introduce a man who doesn't even need a typewriter. Say hello to Jim Barrier.
Hey, Bob. So we talked about how long does it take to manufacture votes, and then we kind of got an understanding about how long it will take for you to play Hail to the Chief. Here's one more. How long will it take for Trump to concede? I'd like to remind you that Al Gore took 36 days to concede. Hillary still hasn't conceded after 4 years. And John McCain conceded before the election. So I'm not sure if Trump will or when he will.
I hope he should. I hope he never does. And I'm so sick and tired. We're already having Mitt Romney and some of the rhinos. For the sake of unity, the American people are ready to move on. It's time to reach across. And I'm listening to conservatives, supposedly on TV, saying, well, that speech that Biden gave, he called for unity. He called to come together. Yeah, well, that's great. He was calling Trump supporters a bunch of bumpkin racists just last week. And now we're supposed to listen to this. Did you know that they are talking about the fact, they've been talking about the fact that if they came into power, they were going to punish Trump supporters? And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is still saying this, that we need to find out the people who helped Trump along. And what they mean by that is get them fired from their jobs, get them off social media. Mm-hmm. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just basing this on what I hear our politicians say they're going to do. We should believe them. And now that they're in power, they're still doing it. But Trump should be the higher ground. I heard one guy on MSNBC say, Mr. Trump, why don't you just put on your big boy pants and concede the election? Big boy pants is a new phrase that they learned on TV. It comes from long ago, but it got resurrected a couple of years ago. They all love saying it. And these from the people who to this day, 4 years later, as you said, have not accepted that Trump won in 2016. And they're lecturing us because it's taken, what, 3 days, 4 days? They called the election yesterday, Saturday. Give me a break. Sorry, Jim, I feel just a little opinionated about this.
That's okay. When Biden talks about unity, what he means is you guys do what we say and agree to our policy. That's what unity means.
That's always been what it meant. Yeah, unity means the Republicans do things exactly the way the Democrats want them. And the reason the Democrats keep saying that is they'll always find a Mitt Romney or a Ben Sasse that'll go along with this. So why should they stop? They keep getting emboldened.
Yeah, neither one of us have ever been big Romney fans.
Well, I voted for him over Obama, but I would have voted for Bart Simpson over Obama, so that's not saying a whole lot.
I would vote for a Romulan before I would vote
I would
Romney,
remove a canker sore and vote for that before Biden or Obama.
Okay. And listen, I appreciate you giving me some time here, but I think we're going to have some other...
We do. In fact, he was a guest in the studio just a couple of weeks ago, Ryan Holland of World News Brief on the CGM Radio Network. Let's bring him on. Ryan, welcome back to our show.
Hey, it is great to be here. Good to be with Bob and Jim. You know, one of the things that I'm encouraged about is, you know, I remember Trump tweeting on Friday that the legal battles are just getting started. I take him at his word on that. And one of the reasons why I do is that I saw a video with human rights attorney Lee Dundas. She was on a call with the Trump legal team yesterday, and they said Trump wanted us to know that he knew this was, and this is what it is, guys, and I think you guys would agree with this, this is all much bigger. This is much bigger than Trump versus Biden. This is about, will America continue as a constitutional republic? And Trump wanted to let all of us know, according to the call that this attorney was on yesterday, that he gets that. He gets that this is about, will we continue as a true representative republic, or are we just a banana republic or a new type of rhino, right? A republic in name only, or can we actually reform this to make the system actually work, or we can trust the election results? It looks as if even Lindsey Graham was on Fox this morning, on Bartiromo this morning, talking about how Trump should not concede. So I don't think he's going to concede anytime soon. I think especially with the Bush, that took 37 days. If Bush was willing to go 37 days, then I think Trump will go potentially even longer.
Well, unfortunately, if it doesn't get resolved till by January, Pelosi becomes our next president. That's a nightmare. If we had won back the House, then that would not have gone to her. But anyway.
Sure. Well, maybe you invoke the Insurrection Act at that point. I don't know, but that's another issue.
Yeah, really.
Now, let me ask you this. Would you rather have Pelosi as president or Kamala Harris? Because that's what we're looking at, I think, potentially.
I don't know. Just throw a bucket of water on each of them and see which one melts first.
Well, you liquidated her, eh? Very resourceful.
Very resourceful.
Hey, what if you're one of the generals? What if you're in the Joint Chiefs of Staff? What if you're a general in one of our great armed forces and you're faced with the prospect of a Kamala Harris or a Nancy Pelosi presidency? And look, I bring the Insurrection Act up kind of tongue in cheek, but if you look at the text, it's Section 253, Title 10 of U.S. Code. It gives the president the right to take military action within a state when, and I quote, any part or class of its people is deprived of a right, privilege, immunity, or protection named in the Constitution and secured by law. Multiple presidents have used it as late as George H.W. Bush. And the reality is that when there is widespread, massive voter fraud like this that affects the outcome of elections, you do not, that is an insurrection. It's an insurrection, not against the president necessarily, but against the Constitution, against our government and the way our government works, sets up, and the rights guaranteed to us. And so if the voter fraud is as widespread as it is and it's affecting the outcome of our elections, then this is very serious, because if we don't fix this, you know, we all agree this, that we don't have a true representative republic.
Yeah, and it is as widespread the voter fraud is that widespread. This is why during the debates they were asking Trump if he was going to be willing to concede, because they knew that they were planning on this. And actually, anybody with eyes knew this. As soon as the governors around the country many, many months ago started talking about how we need to mail out ballots. I have no problem with mailing out ballots to those who request them, military, but mailing out ballots to those who did not ask for them so that they could do harvest balloting for the sake of COVID, just to keep us safe. What a crock. Everybody saw that. Trump saw that. He warned us about it. But by Mike Friedenberg was on last week talking about the kinds of oversampling they were doing in the polls. By giving Biden 10-point leads and by asking Trump if he's going to be willing to concede, having the gall to ask that when they know darn well that the Democrats still haven't conceded 2016, 4 years later, but they don't ask that question to Biden, who had just been contacted by Hillary Clinton and told not to concede no matter what. They're setting it up. Now, here's the thing, guys. We now have this celebration, and we have the first African-American woman, and she's vice president, and we're going to have some weak-kneed Republicans saying, well, how can we overturn that? People are so happy about that. Well, I'm sorry. What I care about is our republic. And yes, the word America will always have the word republic in it. People respond so much to words. I remind you that there was once a country called the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, and we have a big country now called the Republic of China. Were those republics? Were those real republics? No. It's like Antifa. Oh, they claim to be anti-fascist, so they can't be fascist. That people respond to titles, and they're looking at Kamala Harris. Well, now young women everywhere can know that they can be president. Yeah, what a great role model. Young women everywhere can know that they stand for infanticide. Young women everywhere can know that they stand for shredding the Constitution. I'd love to have a woman president. I can think of about 150 that I would choose before Kamala or Hillary.
You know, Bob, I think part of the problem is that so many, and particularly younger Americans, are uninformed or misinformed, and they get their information from Facebook or whatever social media, and it's a very emotional thing. I know this firsthand because one of my own children was so giddy about having a minority woman as the vice president. She didn't know anything about what this person believes or what the agenda is. She was just excited about that because it made her feel good. And by the way, while I'm on that, Bob, I owe you an apology. We have talked a number of times, and I've talked about Americans not voting and the percentage of those that turn out and everything. And you generally would rebut me on that about the fact that people are not informed and you would rather not have people voting if they don't know how to vote. And you were right.
Yep. I'm not a big believer in get out the vote. We should have an aptitude test before people vote. But we won't. But that will never happen. That will never happen.
Well, you were right and I was wrong. Folks, record that. You're not going to hear me.
Whoa, Jim, that sounds like one of those disaster movies where the mayor doesn't want to panic the people about the flood and later on it's too late. He says, you were right. I was wrong.
Well, hey, guys, can I
go ahead, Ryan.
Something regarding that? So I want to say that to Jim, when we've done our episodes of Crosstalk on CGM Radio, you expressed, great concern over the voter fraud. That I didn't necessarily see as clearly as you. And I regret not taking the voter fraud more seriously. I think that I should have completely expected that we would be here where we are right now in this situation, because, we've seen evidence of voter fraud all over the place from Project Veritas and all over, like what Bob said in the opening monologue. I mean, Biden, he let it slip out that they've got the lotus, the largest one in history.
Yeah, they're like, and, psst, Joe, you weren't supposed to say that.
Well, I'm sure that it was a slip of the tongue.
Oh, somebody's head rolled. Who let him out of the shed that day? Somebody's head rolled.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like at the end of the second debate when he began to admit the truth about getting rid of fossil fuels and all of that. He just kind of let it out. There was nothing he could. It just happened.
Yeah.
Did you read today? He said he's going to mandate masks. Anybody that leaves their house must wear a mask. And he wants to enforce it with punishment. Did you read that?
Well, he's been promising that for months and months and months. And people, now
he's passing laws.
Yeah,
and he's not even in office.
And let's face it, gentlemen, there was massive fraud, and I do believe Trump really won. However, I don't have any problem believing that if they added up the legal votes, it would be close, because people have been so brainwashed. I think a lot of people did vote for that guy. I know that they didn't have any enthusiastic passion for Biden, but there was a lot of enthusiastic passion against Trump. They were viewing Kamala Harris as the first woman president, and she's also a person of color, and that's what a lot of them were voting for. So, however, having said that, when you looked at the election on Tuesday night, and you had, I forgot how many, but there were a certain amount of states that all at the same time decided to stop counting. Now, we've had people, we talked about this on Crosstalk last week, we've had people come on the air and say, well, we're going to be counting ballots all night, we may not have the results till tomorrow morning, but they decided to stop counting. What did they know that we didn't know? They must have been looking at the writing on the wall, doing their own estimation, seeing what was coming in. I'm convinced they saw that Trump was about to win, so they resorted to Plan B, circle the wagon. And ladies and gentlemen, if you look back at everything that was done to Trump for the last 4 years, and I have a whole podcast that you can listen to on the CGM Radio Network, CGM Radio/Bob. Listen to that. Listen to what they did to him the last 4 years. You won't have any trouble imagining that this election was also fixed.
Let me share what's troubled me. You recall, well, it must have been now 12 years ago, Michelle Obama saying, for the first time in my life, I'm proud of America. You remember that?
I do.
I remember that. Well, for the first time in my life, I'm ashamed of my country. Now, it's not just the fake ballot. It's not Biden's lying tongue. It's not the liberal extremism, which are going to have an opportunity to really run the country into the ground. This is what bothers me. The fact that it was so close that all of this was at risk, that there were so many people that voted for Biden and so few people that appreciated what Donald Trump has done in his term, it bothers me that there's that many people in this country that don't see it, that don't understand it. That really bothers me. It should have never even been close.
Yeah, I completely agree. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I agree. That was one of the things that I was looking at this election. How close would it be? Because you have one political party of the two real options for governance, that one of them is really not an American party. And the reason why I say that is because it is now, it is a socialist party. When you have someone like Kamala Harris, who is days away from Joe croaking and becoming the president, and she's to the left of Bernie Sanders, an avowed socialist. Socialism is not an American party, because socialism is antithetical to the U.S. Constitution, which guarantees certain freedoms. And you look at the freedoms, you look at true socialist states like the USSR or Cuba or Venezuela, you don't have those, you don't have those constitutional rights. You know, any and all true American political party would at least make an attempt to line up with the Constitution, and they try to say that they do. But if you're talking about socialism, then that does not. And so I was looking at this to go, okay, you know, I was hoping and praying for a major shift, that there was such a large percentage of people in the country that voted for Trump, or at least didn't vote for anybody, that Trump had a large, large victory to show that there's been a shift in the country and a large majority of the country has rejected socialism. But that didn't happen. I agree with Jim. I do agree that Trump won. I believe if you count the legal votes, Trump won. But what we haven't won is that we haven't won the country back. And that's right. We're kind of left at a precipice. That shows me a couple things. Number one, we need a massive spiritual revival and awakening in the country.
Yeah, that's where the real hope is.
Yeah, that is. And number two, we need some serious educational reform, because our education system, both at the before and college levels are teaching that socialism is a good thing.
I can tell you exactly how to have educational reform, Ryan, for parents to start realizing what their kids are learning. I know so many Christian parents who sent their kids off to college and did not recognize what they stood for when they got back. And I think if more people knew that, if more alums and sponsors and patrons of these schools realize this is not their old alma mater anymore and just cut off the funds, money really talks. So I think that's part of it too. But I do agree that the spiritual revival is paramount.
It does. I will not. Maybe this is for someone who's listening over the airwaves. I am not going to send my child and spend tens of thousands of dollars and send them to a school that teaches them to hate and reject God, hate and reject his son, Jesus Christ, and hate and reject the United States of America, the best country in the history of the world, that guarantees freedom and opportunity for people, no matter your race, color, creed, one of the most just countries. Yes, we have great evils that we need to address, but I'm not sending that kind of money or any, I won't send a dime to you. If you're going to brainwash my kids, and it's not like they're going to give them these great intellectual arguments for all of this. They're going to brainwash, indoctrinate, they bully them into thinking this way, and they embarrass them if they have different views. That's not what colleges. Colleges have become hard left indoctrinating institutions, and for our own children and the future of our country, we've got to take a hard look on where we are sending our kids. It's like we're sending them out like lambs to the slaughter. And we got to be very careful with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, parents, I don't know what you're paying to send your kids to college, but you got to believe me, it's too much. G.K. Chesterton, the famous Christian apologist, he made this saying famous. It actually predates him. He said, when a man stops believing in God, he'll start believing in anything. I do believe in God, but I'll tell you what I don't believe. I don't believe that a man is really a woman. I don't believe that there's really been a consensus that we should shut down automobiles and stop eating meat and that would have anything to do with the climate. I don't believe we should be putting to death babies who are already born and calling it abortion. I don't believe we should shred our constitution to live under socialism, which is a nice sounding word, but doesn't have really anything to do with making society better. There's just a whole host of things that I don't believe that trees and rocks are as important to God as people are. I was speaking at a college camp, but this was over 20 years ago. This guy tried to tell me God cares as much about rocks as he cares about human beings. I said, really? So when you read in the newspaper that a woman got raped and a man got murdered, and you also read that they're tearing up concrete, you have the same emotional reaction? You should have seen the look on his face. Everybody knew how ridiculous it was. All we had to do was give it a real illustration. Well, guys, I'm hot on the pulpit tonight, so jump in, jump in, jump in. I want to share the show.
You're right on these things, Bob. And again, the problem is the rhetoric, the words, people don't, remember Inigo Montoya? You keep using that word. I do not think that word means what you think it means. That's what's going on with a lot of this stuff. And I talked to one of my kids and several of my friends' children, and they have bought into this stuff. But the words that they're using don't mean what they think it means. And the agenda that they've been sold, they don't realize that you're going to have to pay the piper someday. And now, let me back up a minute. You guys were talking about revival, and Bob, I have visited that theme for years on your show, and I have said that that's my only hope for this country, is a genuine revival, like the real revivals that you can read about that happened long, long time ago. And I still believe that maybe we will have 4 years if they go ahead and Trump can't overturn his thing or win in courts. And if Biden becomes the president, maybe things will get so bad that people will turn to God. I don't know. I can only hope that that would be the good that could come out of this.
Well, God could flourish during a time of persecution, but if they gain the presidency and the Senate, and I want to remind everybody that the All these changes that took place the next morning are affecting some Senate seats as well in Georgia. We lose the Senate. They've made it very clear that they're going to just start stacking the Supreme Court because there's nothing in there that says it has to only be nine. And Schumer acts like it's payback for the atrocious thing they did with Amy Comey Barrett, except that Schumer and the rest of them were bragging that they were going to do this before the whole thing with Ginsburg and Barrett. So they just make this stuff up as they go. Everybody's supposed to have a short memory. They have that much contempt for the American citizens. They think the American citizens are just that stupid.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Maybe if they do go through with the things they want to do, if they have the power to do that. And I, you're right about the Senate thing. I didn't have any worry about that, but now I'm concerned that they could even tip that. And it's not just that they will stack the Supreme Court. They will go back to Obamacare. They will overturn all of the things that Trump did to get us away from globalization. You know, he'll start snuggling up to Iran and North Korea and China and the people that are a legitimate threat. They will move the embassy again in Israel. They'll do undo everything.
They will close down all churches. They will close down all churches that don't become politically correct and woke. They'll start by taking away
COVID.
Well, and they've already got a lot of compromising pastors, but even the pastors that won't compromise, they'll just threaten to shut them down and they'll get away. Yeah. And I know there's people out there that are thinking, boy, I mean, the Democrats have moved ahead. It was leaked out that they already planned to give acceptance speeches once the media called it for them. So, again, that's part of the plan, because the more they start celebrating, the more it's going to look like Trump stole it. And for those of you out there that are saying, boy, that it's going to be a difficult narrative if the Supreme Court overturns this election result for Trump, it'll look like Trump stole it. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen to me carefully. You're about to hear the truth. I know that's a whole new experience these days. Had the election been called for Trump on Tuesday night, they would still be claiming he stole the election. So he may as well just do what's right and turn over this bogus verdict. Did you know that they discovered a computer program that's where a lot of the so-called glitches were? That were literally taking votes for Trump and flipping them to Biden. That's one of just a sea of things that they've discovered.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I want to say this. Obviously there was voter fraud. And there, on many levels, as you said, there are many, many methods that they use to do this. Here's my problem, Bob and Ryan. Okay, let me mention a few things. Benghazi, Hillary's 30,000 emails, the Biden Hunter laptop, on and on and on. Things, no one has been able to expose those things because the mainstream media won't report it and Congress won't touch it. There's nobody on our side with any power.
And Trump was getting close, and that's why they had to get rid of him and create the narrative that he's a racist. And none of these people believed he was a racist before he ran as Republican. They were all palling around with him.
Ludicrous. It's ludicrous. But do you see what I'm saying? What teeth do we have? What weapons do we have? How are we going to fight back? We've lost all the power. There's no one advocating on the side of truth.
Okay, we have two weapons. We have two weapons, and then I'll let Ryan share what he thinks of weapons. Prayer and persistence. I made them both start with P just to make them easier to remember, everybody. Prayer and persistence. We don't give up. We don't stop praying. Ryan, what would you say to that?
Yeah, I would echo the prayer thing. And actually, I'd recommend looking up. Michelle Bachmann put out these, like, 5 prayer points to pray over, which is really good. I've had this past week, it's been a rough week, I'll admit, but I've had some good times in prayer. But I do think, though, and I think this is something for some perspective, you got to remember that 45 days before, and I think the number 45 is very significant, 45 days before the election, Jewish justice on Jewish New Year passed away. And one of the most liberal. She's now replaced by a very conservative justice. We now have a true 5-4 conservative majority in the Supreme Court. If that hadn't happened, if RBG hadn't passed away, We wouldn't right now. The only recourse probably would be the Insurrection Act, like we talked about earlier. We actually have a shot of going up through the courts. We do for right now until Biden and Harris were to take over and we got like 850 people on the Supreme Court. We do have that. And I think just like in the year 2000, I think we could see a lot happening there. Now, a lot would have to happen there. I don't know. I'm not a legal expert. I don't know how all of that would work. The chances of ACB being a Supreme Court justice before this election were next to none. I mean, not next to none. RBG was pretty old, but the likelihood that she would die like that close to this election, like 45 days before the election, she was alive, and then she dies, like, and she's 7 days before the election, she's installed as a Supreme Court justice. I think there is to quote Adam Smith, there's an invisible hand here. I think that there's a hand at work. I don't know the ultimate outcome of all of this. I know what I believe about that.
Yeah,
that gives me great hope.
Let me just jump in here because in radio, people hear things out of context. And just so you know, when Ryan's talking, everybody, about the fact that Bader Ginsburg was Jewish and she died in the Jewish New Year, he's talking about something cyclical. Ryan has a Jewish wife. I myself am a Jewish Christian. So that I know some of you could hear that out of context and interpret that as some kind of anti-Jewish statement. That is not what he's saying at all. He's talking about how it looks kind of cyclical. With that to chew on, you're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. We'll be right back.
Not sure when to try an unusual novel? Let the customers speak for themselves. Here's another Amazon customer review for Bob Siegel's latest book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. While there is nothing in this book that would stop you from giving it to or reading it to your kids, this book will certainly hold an adult's interest as well. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has it all. Magic, talking cats, bullies who get their comeuppance, fun dialogue, and a good story. Do not let the title fool you. While Christmas does play a prominent role, this is really not a Christmas story, and it can be read at any time of the year, except February 31st. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. It's always a privilege to be joined by two really good friends, Ryan Holland and Jim Barrier.
Can I depart for just a second? Because we've been talking some heavy stuff, and it's on the hearts of so many Americans. But having Ryan on tonight, and Ryan, you have really become an important person to me and a good friend, and I look forward to time we have ahead to get to know each other and to share together. But I want to do a shameless plug for CGM Radio, and that's how the three of us kind of have come together. And each of us has a podcast regularly on cgmradio.com. So I just wanted to say that Ryan is almost too humble to shamelessly plug himself. So I'm doing it for you. We've all mentioned it on our social media pages, but just wanted to throw that out there for listeners that weren't aware.
No, I appreciate that. Actually, when I was in studio with Bob a few weeks ago, I shamelessly plugged it then. So, but hey, I appreciate you. I appreciate you doing it again. No, I absolutely love the fact that, that yourself, Jim, your most recent podcast on Faith and Works, I listened to today, which was a wonderful break from election, post-election news. But I love how you take these questions, how does this scripture says we're saved by faith, but this scripture talks about true Christians have works, how do you reconcile these two? And you just did a great job doing that. So I love your podcast, Since You Asked. And of course, Bob's show, the Bob Siegel Show podcast it's a wonderful daily show. So I'm incredibly, incredibly blessed and humbled that, you guys would join my little network and do what you guys do. It's a huge blessing.
Well, it's a blessing to have both of you on. And in that vein, Ryan, there was a special show you did about, a little over a week ago, and it was before the election. And I know things were looking more optimistic back then. But you were interested, because this is a show people could still listen to. You were talking about where we were in our history, and you were talking about Ronald Reagan. Is there anything you want to say about that? I know things have changed, but originally that was going to be one of the reasons we were going to have you on. I wanted to see if you'd still like to plug that show a little bit, because I don't really think it's dated. I think people should go listen to it.
No, it's not what it is. It's largely a show based on very recent history of threats to freedom of speech and freedom of religion here in the United States. And I started off in 2000. Well, it's based off of the show is called Freedom or Tyranny, A Time for Choosing. I did the show on October 27th, which is the 56th anniversary of Ronald Reagan's A Time for Choosing speech that he did for the Goldwater campaign, his famous speech, which I highly recommend looking up. But if you go to cgmradio.com, go to World News Brief, go to the episode list, you'll find it there. It's called Freedom or Tyranny, A Time for Choosing. But, you know, like in 2011, out in California, this is just one of many examples. But to give you kind of a taste what to expect on the show, there was a family that was fined for holding a Bible study in their home. I mean, for holding a Bible study. And there was a great statement that the lawyer for the family who gave, and he said this. He said, if this Bible study is not allowed, if they're not allowed to exercise their rights under the First Amendment, then the floodgates will be open wide for every Bible study in the country to potentially be on the chopping block by their local government. So, and then I get into Jack Phillips and the Masterpiece Cake Shop and all of that happened 6 years ago to the Supreme Court. So check it. It's good to either way this election ends up going, it's good to have a standing of the threats, especially to Bible-believing Christians. That is there. It's been around, and it would only grow and accelerate at a pace that I don't even think I could predict under a Harris administration. But yeah, definitely check that out if you can. It's a good kind of short history of the threat, the First Amendment threats that we're facing today.
Okay, well, in the time we have left, I know that the voter fraud is something we've all been concerned with. It's been interesting, the text messages going back and forth all week. What have you heard? What have you heard? And not all of us can stay in front of the news all the time. We do other things. But let me just throw that out. I did a podcast last week, as I said. It's called The War Against Trump. The four-year war against Trump, where I listed a lot of those, but also how he was treated the last 4 years. But I have so many things that I see on these lists of voter fraud. I mentioned one of them already, that computer bug thing that was in there. But what have the two of you been hearing? What kinds of hopeful things have you been hearing? I know, Ryan, you shared a little bit earlier with some of the things going on with the attorneys. I think a lot of people in our audience are just aching for some good news, because I turned on Fox News last night and they were celebrating Biden's giving a speech. I couldn't even watch it, honestly. I turned on an old episode of Leave It to Beaver. I really did.
Man.
Yeah. By the way, either one of those, either Wally or Beaver would have made a better president than Biden and Harris together.
Or Lumpy.
Or Eddie Haskell. Eddie Haskell. Okay, we're really dating ourselves. People are out there going, Eddie Haskell, who are these guys? All right.
Now we know who he grew up to be. I read something yesterday that was intriguing. It was someone on the Trump circle, Trump team, said that Trump will run again in 4 years if they don't overturn this and claim the election. If they, in fact, in state Biden, and he is sworn in, Trump will run in 4 years because he hates losing, he loves America, and he doesn't want to see the job unfinished. And I thought, well, that gives me something to look forward to in 4 years.
Yeah, provided they don't pack the court. But if they gain all three houses and pack the courts, we're never going to have a fair election again. We really didn't this time, but...
No.
Yeah.
And on that note, if he ran in 4 years, he would still be younger than Biden is today.
Yeah, it's too bad that Biden defeated Bernie, because Biden's name should be Bernie, because he reminds us of Weekend at Bernie's. That's the way they're using him in the White House.
Actually, those two guys always reminded me of the two old guys in the balcony on the Muppet,
Show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry for being so facetious, but I'm trying to keep lighthearted, because the truth is, guys, my heart is very heavy.
Yeah, mine too. And a lot of it is just humor to break this up. Ryan, other things that you've heard that would be good news?
Yeah, this is, you know, for me, it's good news. Every story that I see where voter fraud has been exposed, and there's a lot of them, that's good news to me. You know, I wish I could sit here and say I know for sure that this thing's going to turn around for Trump. None of us do. But, I saw this on the Gateway Pundit, which has been a pretty really good source for sharing a whole lot about voter fraud, that and, of course, Breitbart. But there was on Wednesday morning, a poll watcher in Detroit sent the Gateway Pundit this message, and it says, last night at the TCF, where absentee ballots for Wayne County, Detroit, are being counted, a Ferrari, a van, and a Chrysler all pulled up into a facility with ballots inside vehicles. All three of them had out-of-state plates. This is an anonymous tip. Also, they're counting military ballots now. I heard around 7K. So I'm seeing stuff like this a lot. I think also the glitch in Michigan, the quote glitch in Michigan County, where you had those 6,000 ballots that turned to Trump, and Trump ends up winning the county by 2,500 votes. And they then discover that software called Dominion, of all things, the Dominion.
That's the one that I was referring software to. Yeah, I had Dominion.
Yes. And it's used in 30 states, which apparently, from what I haven't confirmed this, but apparently Pelosi and Feinstein, they may have stakes in as well. I still need to confirm that. But
oh, that would be shocking that either one of them would do anything crooked. That would just be a shock.
I know exactly. So that's kind of the good news. The more we see this exposed, and the closer this gets to the Supreme Court, is good news for me, because remember, Alito ordered 800,000 ballots to be that were received after November 3rd to be set aside up in Pennsylvania,
which they didn't do originally.
Now, did they end up doing it? I guess we need to find out if they ended up doing it eventually.
He gave the order a second time and tried to put more teeth in it, and so presumably they're doing it now. But they just ignored it the first time.
The hubris is incredible. So. But I think, though, you have a constitutional argument, because the Constitution says that there is an election day. And you know what? If I show up to the polls on November 4th in person, what would have happened? Nobody would have been there. I wouldn't have been able to vote. You have plenty of time.
Right.
Plenty of time to get your ballot in. If it comes in after November 4th, I'm sorry. It's like me showing up to the poll on November 4th. And I think it's highly possible a 5-4 majority of the Supreme Court could see that very clear reading of the Constitution and do away with a lot of votes, most of which we know are Biden. So that's kind of what, on top of my own personal belief that I believe God has Trump here in this season for this time, and I personally believe that he's going to continue, that's my personal belief. I can't prove that to anybody else, but I see a lot of hope there with the fact that I think ACB on the Supreme Court for such a time as this, a modern day Esther, and could be the saving of the Republic.
Well, let's just hope that, like Esther, she pays more attention to God, because she already recused herself when they were going to overturn this Pennsylvania thing right from the beginning. And Justice Roberts sat her down, said it would look really good if on your first day you recused yourself. Roberts loses sleep over what the Supreme Court looks like to people. He doesn't seem to lose a whole lot of sleep out of just reading what it says. So pray that she doesn't cave to pressure. That does concern me. I was very impressed with the woman. But we have this history of so-called constructionists going and needing to prove how objective they are. And somehow proving objectivity always means going with the liberals on the court. So that does concern me. I do believe that God has his hand on Trump. But as I've said a lot these last few weeks, it's also true that when I talk about God being in control, the Bible says a lot about how God will allow nations to be judged by removing his restraining hand. He'll allow people to get the leaders they deserve. And as we're praying, and there are pastors all over the country, all over the world praying, Jim Garlow, former pastor of my church, Skyline, he's been organizing these things. They did another one today. They're phenomenal. But we've got to pray along with that some of the evangelical pastors that have been compromising for years years on a lot of issues. Repent. I think we need to see a little bit of repentance, or just so many more rising up and saying, well, okay, we won't be like them. We will do what is right. And that doesn't mean that, obviously, we're all sinful, we all have flaws, but we're talking about people that just majorly compromise by changing their positions, changing their theologies. That has got to stop. And I believe that God's taking a very careful look at that in deciding whether he's going to allow Trump to overturn this. But I do believe God has his hand on Trump. God is in complete control, but sometimes that gives me pause, because God will let nations get the leaders they deserve.
Well, because I just did this in a podcast that I'm getting ready to record, and I hear the term, I hear people say, God has everything under control. And I know what you mean by that, but if he does, he's doing a lousy job, because the world is out of control and the world's a mess. Paul calls Satan the god of this world and the prince of the power of the earth. So I know what you mean when you say he's in control, he's sovereign, he's on a throne, but he's given man a free will, and man has mucked it up. That's all I'm going to say.
But there are a lot of people repenting and praying. We have just 1 minute. Ryan, some closing thoughts.
Yeah, for sure, God is sovereign. That doesn't mean he dictates every little thing. I'll just share a personal experience that I had earlier this morning. When I prayed, I haven't really had much peace, I'll be honest, since late Tuesday night. And I prayed, I said, Lord, I believe that you have this. And this is in, I give it over to you. I believe this is in your hands. I prayed something to that effect. And I felt some peace when I prayed that. Now, I agree with you, Jim, that God being on his throne doesn't equal everything being great, because the world is a muck. God gave man free will, and he did so for a reason. But this is one of those things I believe personally that God is. It's up to the outcome of this is ultimately up to him, and perhaps we have a part in it. And like what you guys are talking about, the prayer, the repentance, the crying out to God, he does hear the cry of his people. And so I think we should take him seriously on that and pray and move forward at least in that way.
I agree. And let me say that I'm still leaning optimistic at this point. Realistic, but I'm still optimistic that this could turn around. That would be Trump's MO. That would be so every time this man has seemed beaten down in the ashes, he rises like a phoenix. We talked about this last week on Cross. Yeah. Well, amen. Gentlemen, it's always such a pleasure to have each of you and both of you at the same time. And I will continue to have you on over the years or over the next 15 minutes that Newsom allows this and other free broadcasts to be on the air, whichever it happens to be. Until then, this is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.